Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're now into hour number two on this Thursday, the 13th day of January 05. Yes, we've made it well into 05 now, my friends. And there is so much news and information I want to talk about with our esteemed guest, Colonel Craig Roberts, best-selling author of One Shot, One Kill, a Marine Corps sniper in Vietnam, also a colonel, of course, in the Army, worked in Army intelligence, helicopter pilot, SWAT team officer in the police department, did detective work on Oklahoma City. Quite a renaissance man when it comes to the security services and the military. And we haven't had him on. Well, we had him on a few months ago for a little while just to pop in, but I hadn't had Craig on in about 6 months for several hours. And I know a lot of you are glad to hear him back on the show. And there's a bunch of news. I want to talk about the war in Iraq, and I know you can't say too much because you could be called up to active duty any time. You're not that, you know, you're pretty much a youngin' compared to some of the guys who are 75 years old getting called back up into advisory capacities. But it's good to have you on with us, Craig. I also want to talk about Oklahoma City.
Always glad to be back, Alex.
A lot has happened, and first off, they've announced that they may not just make the National Guard stay in Iraq for 2 years. Now they're talking about 4 years, but all the military science says that the average person can't handle more than a tour of combat, 11 months. How do you make people stay in combat for 4 years, Colonel?
Well, they won't do that. There'll be people who'll do, like we did in Vietnam. There's a few people did two tours. A very small number did three, but they were mostly requesting to go back or volunteered when they were asked. Two tours is not unusual. Depends on how long the tour is. Now, if you're talking about a six-month tour, two of those is only a year. I did a year in Vietnam. If you're talking about year-long tours, two tours is about as much anybody can stand, but the problem, it's a much more far-reaching problem than that. Besides the psychological effect, you have different, let's talk about the psychological effect for a minute. You have different types of people. You've got people who can take it and look forward to it, and it's the adrenaline rush and the adventure, and this is, you know, this is something I'm doing with my life. Then you have people who, they want to be home, and they want to, you know, deal with their family, raise the kids, and work in a cubicle, or sell shoes to women at the mall, and that's their objective in life. You put those type of people in the same combat scenario you put the first group in, you're going to have some problem areas, because these guys don't want to be there to begin with. They'll do their job, they'll do it well, but when they're done, they want to go to the house. They don't want to be called back over and over again. And those are a lot of those people are the kind of people we find in the Guard and the Reserves. Now, when you start using the hometown Guard and Reserves in the way that they're being used now as regular forces, and you're doing something, there's some other things that are happening too, Alex. They're also not treating the Guard and the Reserves the same they do the active forces. I have witnessed this myself on numerous occasions when I've been on active duty. The Guard and Reserves are treated like amateurs or stepchildren or wannabes or weekend warriors.
Well, they're certainly not wannabes now.
Well, no,
you know,
not
telling them clear 20 houses a day.
Well, no, they're not. But the thing about it is, guess what? They're not getting the same benefits. They're not getting the same retirement package. They're not getting the same promises. They're not getting the same chow and quarters and so on in a lot of areas that the regular troops are, because the regular officer corps at the general ranks are all regulars, most of them West Point grads or Annapolis or whatever, and they're going to take care of the regular forces, and they're going to use the reserves any way they want. You know, now what they did during the first Bush and then the end of the Clinton administration was they relegated most of your support and rear echelon activities to Guard and Reserves, and most of your combat division activities to the regular military. Well, then they got themselves in a trick box, because now they're in situations like Afghanistan
there. I want to talk about this when we get back for a few minutes. Then I want to get into Oklahoma City and a bunch of other issues. But this is important, folks, because the new Rumsfeld memo is saying, yes, we're losing. We're losing. And so their answer is a greater iron fist. So we'll talk about a bunch of different issues concerning the war, and then we'll get into some other news. Stay with us.
Hey folks, Alex Jones here. And the behavior of our police is a reflection of our government. One look in the mirror and we know our country is entering a high-tech police state. Here's just a sample from my documentary film, Police State 2, The Takeover.
In downtown Seattle today, the First Amendment ended.
The civil emergency was created by the police.
Riot police attacked people on the street indiscriminately.
The medical bills are going to be enormous for me.
You see them here with their hands cupped behind their backs. They are being led into the Sandpoint Brig. The neighbors in that area of Sandpoint Naval Air Station were shocked to hear that the old brig was being reopened.
This information is absolutely vital for all freedom lovers in the United States. Order your video today. Call toll-free at 888-253-3139. The number to order the takeover again is 888-253-3139. Or go to my website, Infowars.com.
Are terrorist cells or prime terror targets located near you? Where are military bases and hazardous waste sites located? How do you find the best area for solar, average rainfall, fish contamination advisories, and major transportation routes? In the new interactive CD book, Prudent Places USA, you will find the information you want with over 50 interactive parameters that you control. Find everything from housing prices and taxes to brewing environmental catastrophes. Locate billion-dollar disaster-prone areas, the safest cities, ideal solar locations, and much, much more. Complete with over 3 gigabytes of detailed information on each of the 3,000-plus counties in the U.S., including 550 high-resolution, full-color maps and full-color photographs, as well as detailed information and analysis that you need. Get this hard-to-find information by ordering Prudent Places USA now for only $29 plus shipping and handling by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438 or order on the web at BerkeyWater.com.
Heart disease continues to be the leading cause of death in America. Why? Haven't people heard about the positive effects of Cardivite? Cardivite drops and capsules were designed to improve your cardiovascular health and circulatory well-being. The all-natural ingredients in Cardivite begin immediately working to increase metabolism in your heart muscle tissue, mitigating heart rhythm abnormalities, and improving oxygen and blood flow in the heart. Right now, as a special for GCN listeners, you'll get a 4-month supply for only $99 plus shipping, a 30% savings off the regular price. This offer is only for a limited time, so call now 1-877-928-8822. Cardivite drops and capsules may help improve your circulation and cardiovascular health, but that's up to you. Take the first step with Cardivite. Call toll-free 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com for more information. Don't let heart disease beat you. Beat the odds and do your body right with Cardivite.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
All right, we're talking to Colonel Craig Roberts. And Craig, you were continuing to talk about these latest memos that came out. Then we're going to get into Oklahoma City and a bunch of other police state issues, but we were talking about how they're now not just going to have the National Guard in for 2 years active duty. They're talking about 4 years, perhaps indefinite. We were talking about the different psychological effects of this fatigue. I mean, this has not been done before in modern history. Even in World War II, you had to fly 22 missions, but then that was it unless you volunteered for more, and few did, over Europe. Take Vietnam where you were, or Korea. I mean, You only had to be there for 11 and a half months. But break this down for us. Go over what this means and your whole assessment of what's happening in Iraq.
Well, again, what we're running into psychologically is a situation that people weren't prepared for when they enlisted in the reserves and the Guard. And yes, they understand that if you have a war, your job is to put the uniform on, pack your sea bag, and go deal with it for however long it takes, whether it's 1 year or 3 years or duration or whatever. But they weren't prepared to deal with something like this, where they get deployed in third world nations on a foreign legion type operation, where they're taken out of their hometown, they're taken away from their jobs. They in a small town, you can destroy the entire infrastructure of the town because you take the key personnel out, you take the young guys who are working, and you pull them out, you leave the families home without dad and so on, and they end up overseas. Well, this is fine, but when you keep doing it over and over and over where they can't plan their lives, then you got a problem, because psychologically they're thinking of other things too. They're not only thinking about, I got to go to war and it's dangerous. Okay, that's fine. That's a given. I have to leave my family. We know, we understand that's a given to a point, but then it gets to the point that while I'm gone, what happens at home? Who's going to take care of things? What if somebody gets sick? And all my friends that I went to school with, all my neighbors who didn't go in the military, they're sitting at home right now. They're getting the promotions, they're getting the education, they're getting the foot up the ladder, and I'm on hold over here. So there's a lot of other things that people don't mention. The DOD doesn't even think about that these guys are going through. Plus, we're depleting our reserves. The enlistment rate in the reserves and guards going to go down. That's going to hurt us in the future. But you and I both know there's a higher agenda at work here as well. And I think that agenda is that if we send all of our people overseas, there's no one home to watch the chickens. And that falls back over to Barry McGaffrey's deal of when he gave the graduation speech to the CASQ class up in Fort Leavenworth, that if we get deployed overseas on two or more fronts, and I'm paraphrasing here, that should a national emergency occur at home where we need our military, we will be forced to call upon foreign assets. Now, foreign assets, obviously, is UN troops. Now, I got the biggest problem I've got with this whole scenario is we're not conducting the war in Iraq on a tactical sense properly. If we did, we would take the stuff we learned in Vietnam. We would go into places like we did in Fallujah. We could go in and cordon off areas of Baghdad or Mosul or any of these places, and we could go house to house, and we could get the guns, and we could get the bombs, and we could stop this stuff. Another thing we could do is we could stop the casualties. It was very simple. I recommended to our congressman a year ago, get the Humvees off the roads. Forget the Humvee armor. Don't waste the money. Somebody's making money on this deal. We got a 1,000 M113 armored personnel carriers sitting around in storage ready to go that are 100 times better than a Humvee.
But that's for domestic use.
Well, even so, the thing about it is we didn't get any answers. We didn't get any answers back when we asked for them to at least consider doing this. Then we asked through the congressman's office. I work for this congressman. And we asked, why aren't we protecting our southern border? If you want to use the reserves and National Guard, let's go out and let's do 6 months on the border. Let's stop the illegal aliens coming across, because we're not worried about the Mexicans. We're worried about who they're bringing with them. We know, and I've got friends on Border Patrol down there, who have gone into houses, abandoned houses, that farmers have just given up and left. They said, I can't even live here anymore. And they've gone into these abandoned houses and these ranches, and they found prayer rugs, and they found Korans, and they found notebooks, all in Islamic. You know, these aren't people coming over here to pick fruit. These are terrorists. They're coming across the border. So if we're going to fight the war on terror, why aren't we starting doing it here? See, so these questions aren't being answered. And the more we ask, all we get is silence.
But let's go back to, I mean, it's not just not seeing your family. I mean, you were on a SWAT team. You were in Vietnam. You've been on both sides of this. Sending people in 4 days a week to raid hundreds of homes a week and to go into these houses to do these raids. I mean, this is serious combat, day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year. Now all the statistics and studies show that is totally exhausting, and most people can't handle that.
Well, you can't if you just continue to do it. You can't just leave your flashlight on and expect the batteries to last forever. It's not going to happen. You've got to get people out of those situations and rotate fresh troops through. But we run into a paradigm here. It's kind of a conundrum. If we take the experienced guys out, what happens is there's a bell curve. When you first get into combat, you're in the learning curve. So the first, say, half of the time you're there, you're learning how to protect yourself and your buddies and fight the battle. And the second half of the time there, you lose less casualties because you guys are veterans now. But you have the new guys coming in, and the people that get hurt most normally are the new people, because they're the ones that make the mistakes because they haven't learned yet. And you've got to have a certain amount of veterans there to teach these guys their survival skills in combat. You actually develop a sixth sense. I call it jungle sense. When I was in Vietnam, we got to where, after about 6 months of being in the bush, we got to where I could tell you, Alex, if we were on a patrol, that there was a tripwire 25 yards ahead, or there was a punji pit off to the side of the road, I could tell you if there's a sniper in a tree line over there, because the hair would just stand up in the back of my neck, and I just knew it. It was like this, sixth sense. You know, you go in a restaurant, and you know as well as I do, being a personality, you sit down, you know when somebody's staring at you, and you don't have to look at them.
You turn around and they're looking at you.
Right.
Or you automatically look up and they're looking at you.
Yeah, but you know it before you ever look that you're being watched. And that's the same type of sixth sense that people develop in combat or police officers develop in the field. They can get out of a car and they start to walk up to the car and they know something's wrong. Something's wrong with that car. I think the guy's got a gun. Rookies get killed because they haven't developed that yet. Same thing on rookies in combat. Until they get geared and psychologically prepared and plus gain experience, they make mistakes. And the thing about it is, you usually get like, I've got friends over there that have gotten hurt. The guy's a master sergeant. Okay, the mistake was made by his PFC driver, not him. He was trying to tell them not to do something. They did it, and they got both got blown up. And they didn't get killed, but they were, you know, pretty seriously injured because the young guy made the mistake, not the old guy. So we do need some veterans over there, but we don't need everybody to stay there all the time and be worn down to where we have no military left. That's a waste of
Well, let me stop you, and I understand that you could be called up any time, so you have to be careful about what you say, but they're having whole groups of troops now quit, and then the media goes and looks at it, and it's true, where half their guns don't work. And they're saying, well, it doesn't matter. We're sending you back, and it doesn't matter if your gun is failing half the time you shoot it. Or we don't care. Now, that's got to be a major problem.
This is where the cover-ups happen. And we had the prime example of this was the M16, which I still consider to be a piece of junk. And guys will argue with me about that, but they didn't carry the M14 like I did, which was a real rifle. We got to Vietnam, we had the M14, we had zero failure rate. We had maximum accuracy out to 500 meters and beyond. They never jammed, they worked real well, just like the M1. All they were was a modified M1 that shot 7.62 millimeter instead of 30-06, and they had an exposed barrel and a 20-round magazine. Basically, it was an M1.
It shoots a 308 instead of a 30-06.
Right, 7.62, 308. They came in 67 and started issuing the AR-15, which later became the M-16. Well, they made several mistakes. The government bureaucrats got in there, and they tinkered around with the powder, and they did this, and they did that. But they basically sent a mouse gun to war. And it was a total failure. It got people killed. There were Marines in Hill 881 and 881 South that were found dead on the side of the hill assaulting this mountain with field-stripped weapons trying to unjam them. And so a friend of mine was involved in investigation on this, and he's the one that reported it, investigated it, and says, we got to do something, get this thing off the battlefield until it's fixed, or get it out of here and give us our M14s back. This was in the Marine Corps. It got up about two levels in command and got roadblocked. And the more they tried to fight it, the more they were told, you'll ruin your career if you do anything about this. So just go, be quiet, it'll be fixed, don't worry about it. He said, well, while it's being fixed, I'm losing Marines over here. And so as an example, what they did is my friend made major, and then he was forced to retire. In the Marine Corps, most officers can make major. To make lieutenant colonel, you better have all your ducks in a row and not have any black marks and get a little gold star. And so, because it's a very small organization compared to the Army. The Army is almost as bad politically as well because you don't make waves. Well, come to find out, is in the case of the M16, instead of having rifles that were built by subcontractors scattered all over the country, like all of our other weapons had been built by, Colt Firearms had bought the whole thing. From Armalite. And so Colt Firearms was the sole manufacturer for the first time in American history of all infantry weapons. Colt Firearms just happened to be in the pocket of a guy named Robert McNamara, who was Secretary of Defense. Bell Helicopter, same type of issue. We had helicopters over there getting shot down right and left and getting replaced right and left. We lost 6,000 helicopters altogether in Vietnam. And it was with 90% of them being made by Bell Helicopter Textron, which was a part of the trust of Lyndon Baines Johnson's wife, Lady Bird. So when we start getting up and finding out that we're not allowed to fix the stuff that's broken, I look real hard at who's making the money here. The Humvees. Who's making the money off the Humvees? Because
well, I've read that even if you armor them, it doesn't protect them, that it's not meant to be in combat.
No, you know, that's like trying to armor a duck. You know, it's a Jeep. give me a break here. This thing was it's a horrible piece of equipment. It's too big to go in the woods and go off the road very far. It's okay out in the deserts for hauling a lot of gear. And, yeah, it's got a lot of neat whistles and bells.
But Arnold Schwarzenegger likes it.
And yeah, so's half the Hollywood limo services now. But that doesn't make it a good vehicle. It replaced the M151 and a few other trucks, but the M151 was a small, like a Jeep, where you could actually go through the woods. I had a reconnaissance platoon. We had 12 of them, where they had machine guns mounted in the back on pedestals. We could drive those things anywhere, but they ran on gas and not diesel fuel, and so that was a strike against them because the military wanted to go to diesel fuel and multi-fuel.
Well, stay there. I want to come back. Colonel, I want to come back and shift gears into Oklahoma City. Stay with us.
Those dark, depressing days are here. Are you among the 15% of North Americans who suffer from the winter blues? This condition is simply caused by the lack of sunlight during the short winter days. Do you suffer from constant fatigue and lack of energy? Do you have a hard time pulling yourself out of bed in the morning? Do you put on weight in the winter? Is your life on hold till the spring? Check with your doctor. You may be suffering from the winter blues or from SAD, seasonal affective disorder. In all likelihood, your doctor will recommend bright light therapy with one of our special lights. Light up your life. Put some sunshine on your depressing days with a Northern Light. Call Northern Light Technologies at 800-263-0066 and speak to one of our trained representatives or visit us at northernlighttechnologies.com. That's northernlighttechnologies.com. Our phone number again is 800-263-0066.
Hi, folks. Jack Browning from Midas Resources, the real money folks. Let's review a few things from the past year, November 2003 to November 2004. The Dow has ranged from 9,800 to 10,300, a 5% increase. The dollar's value has dropped from 96 cents to 70 cents against the euro, a 24% decrease in spending power against the gold-backed euro. Gold has gone from the 390s to the 440s, a 16% increase in real money. Precious metals are the safe haven in today's hectic marketplace. To learn how to protect your shrinking dollar, call Midas Resources today at 1-800-686-2237. Remember, gold is liquid, private, and portable. Call now before your buying power shrinks even more dramatically. That's Midas Resources at 800-686-2237.
Hello, folks. Alex Jones here introducing you to the Black Berkey Replacement Element. They're new and they're more powerful than any gravity filter element on the market. These powerful filters fit most gravity filter systems and can be installed in minutes. Black Berkey Replacement Elements are so powerful they remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites to non-detectable levels. The trihalomethanes and volatile organic chemicals such as atrazine, styrene, chloroform, and MTBE are removed below detectable limits. Black Berkey filter elements also reduce nitrates and unwanted metals such as lead, mercury, and aluminum. Yet the Black Berkey filter elements leave in the nutritional minerals that your body needs. And the Black Berkey filters are reclaimable. Simply brush them up with Scotch-Brite pads. Normally $48 each, you get a 2-pack for only $91 or a 4-pack for only $173. Get the powerful Black Berkey replacement filters now by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438 and tell them Alex Jones sent you. That's 888-803-4438. Protect your family.
AHealthyLifeChoice.com now offers Dr. Sid Sanford's latest homeopathic complex formulations. Virility for men and Venus for women can increase stamina and sensitivity. Helps men with erectile dysfunction and lubrication for women. Enhances your immune system, helps gain muscle mass and much more. Reverses the effects of aging, improves your sex life, lose wrinkles naturally, no more cellulite, improves your vision and memory retention. AHealthyLifeChoice.com, 866-318-4578. Our many formulations rejuvenate HGH and athletic factor. For men and women can increase energy and build muscle mass while losing fat. Stressed? Anxiety-ridden? Eliminate stress and anxiety naturally by day while promoting sleep at night. Help your body heal itself with our complex formulations. AHealthyLifeChoice.com, 866-318-4578, 866-318-4578. The choice is yours.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
right, I've got a whole host of issues that I want to talk about with my good friend Craig Roberts. And I know you want to get involved on air. We've got callers still holding from the last hour. We'll get to you in the next segment. I appreciate you holding. 1-800-259-9231. Craig's website is riflewarrior.com. I'll tell you more about that a little bit later. Craig, I want to talk about Oklahoma City because you really are an expert on this, and I've interviewed probably 50 people on the subject, but you work the case. You've got basically the same views that I've got from the evidence. Clearly a government bombing, clearly government involvement. That is criminal elements of the Clinton administration. And now we've got American Free Press reporting on something that you covered years ago, but they've even got more government documents now. OKC bombshell implicates feds in Murrah blast. And I covered this yesterday with Pat Shannon. The reason I'm covering it again today is because Oklahoma City is even a clearer inside job than September 11th, and it really shows us with their pants down what they're up to. And I want to specifically get into Harry Everhart, this high-level BATF individual assigned to the National Security Council, and tell folks about this.
Well, I don't have a whole lot on Everhart other than the fact that on day one, everybody has to understand that when and you see it all the time. Anytime something happens on the news, the only good information you get is day one, hour one. And then after that, key items in the news disappear or they get glossed over or explained away to where by day two, it's not even the same story anymore. TW-800, prime deal. On day one, it was a terrorist event and it was a missile. And by day three, they didn't know what it was. And eventually, it was a center fuel tank. And the plane decided to blow itself up one day, committed suicide. Oklahoma City, on day one, there's so many things that happen just in the first 3 to 4 hours.
Well, in the first 3 minutes, BATF runs up and says, we were told not to go in the building.
That's the first thing that happened.
And then that doesn't even live in Oklahoma City, who's part of a National Security Council secret drill doing truck bombs out in the desert, is there and phones it into the media going, it's an info bomb. Pretty suspicious.
There's two things that, well, actually, there's several things that happened exactly at the same time, right at 9:02 in the 9:03, 9:04 area of that morning of the 19th of April of 95. One of the things that happened, just before the Ryder truck shows up out front. Of course, the Ryder truck, for those that haven't followed this, was the red herring. That was, the Ryder truck was, this is what did it. This is the Lee Harvey McVeigh truck. Carcano found in the bookstore. This is going to build our case, and we'll pin it on whoever we need to later. When in actual fact, we all know now, and we knew then, that there were other explosive charges already inside the building that had gone off before the truck was detonated. We have since tracked down who some of the people that were involved in placing those charges, according to eyewitnesses. But yet the federal government doesn't want to talk about it. They don't want to even hear about it. They're doing the three monkey routine. At the same time, at 9:02 and 9:03, right afterwards, the explosion goes off, and right afterwards, there were people who showed up wearing black SWAT uniforms that we were told were ATF guys. And then we were told that ATF wasn't in the building that day. Then we were told that, though, there were some ATF in the building that day. And I'm on the law enforcement end of this deal, and we're getting these stories. We have the several different vehicle descriptions. One was a brown GMC pickup leaving the scene, high rate of speed, with 2 to 3 Middle Eastern males in it wearing blue jogging suits that had left the front door of the building that had held the parking place for the Ryder truck. But the FBI doesn't want to hear about that by day three. We've got the Everhart story now that's coming out. That he was involved in calling in that it was an ANFO bomb. Well, when this thing first went off, guess what, Alex? For the first 20 minutes, it wasn't a bombing. For the first 20 minutes here in Oklahoma that never got outside of the state, you may be hearing this here for the first time, it was a natural gas explosion. I was sitting in a barber chair and saw it within a minute of it going off. They had cameras pointed in Oklahoma City toward it. Here's this giant black column of smoke going up. And I saw a helicopter fly by. I later found out it was the police helicopter. That's your black helicopter, by the way, that flew over the building. It flew over just right afterwards because as soon as it went off, they were dispatched to see what it was and check on traffic control. I talked to the pilot myself. So it was a natural gas explosion for 20 minutes. So all of a sudden, 20 minutes later, no, it was a car bomb. And somebody down there said, no, that's too big for a car bomb. So then, now this, the FBI by now is on the scene. And they're saying, and the ATF as well, has all of a sudden started showing up from home. And it goes into a station wagon, then a truck, and it just kept growing in size over the next day or so.
Stay there. We'll talk about it when we get back. On the other side of this quick break, the websites are InfoWars.com, InfoWars.net, and PrisonPlanet.tv. A lot of new updates there at PrisonPlanet.tv, so be sure and check it out.
We're on the march. The Empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Black Berkey replacement elements are ideal for use in any gravity filter. These self-sterilizing filters can transform raw pond and lake water into delicious, crystal-clear drinking water. Ideal for travel or outdoor events, and perfect in the event of hostile filtration environments such as local or national emergencies, because they remove both harmful chemicals and pathogenic bacteria from water. So powerful, they can remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites to non-detectable levels. Trihalomethanes and volatile organic chemicals such as atrazine, benzene, chlorine, chloroform, and NTBE are removed to below detectable limits. They reduce nitrates and unwanted metals such as lead, mercury, aluminum, copper, and foul taste like chlorine and sulfur odors. Yet the Black Berkey filter elements leave in the helpful and beneficial minerals that your body needs. Normally $48 each, get a 2-pack for only $91 or 4-pack for only $173. Get the powerful Black Berkey replacement filters now by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438.
Why continue to suffer from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people report improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses this same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no side effects. Join others in discovering a return to natural health and wellness. Eliminate the cause. Don't just treat symptoms. BioSolutions has over 450 pre-programmed auto-sequences for various health conditions and is very easy to use. It comes with a 30-day return policy and a 1-year limited warranty. For more information, call Alternative Technologies toll-free, 866-885-6625. 866-885-6625. One more time, that's 866-885-6625. Call today.
Hi, folks, this is Alex Jones. Whether you are aware or not, World War III has started. Let me rephrase that. Oil War III has started. Don't kid yourself, the reason we went into Iraq is oil. Now we are looking at the possibility of invading Iran and even Saudi Arabia. Why else would the U.S. be building 13 permanent military installations inside Iraq? Does it look like we're pulling out? The nations of the earth are consuming oil at the rate of 83 million barrels per day and growing. At this rate of consumption, experts predict that oil prices will only go up. Ready Reserves prepared a free booklet explaining the world's oil supply and how it will impact you and how it will change the world forever. Call Ready Reserves at 1-800-453-2202 and ask about the free booklet and what you can do to prepare. That's 800-453-2202. After you read the booklet, you will understand just how dangerous the world has become. That's 1-800-453-2202 or email your request to readyreserves@AOL.com. That's 800-453-2202. Colonel Roberts can stay with us into the next hour, because we're going to have Jack McClam on as well. And I've got a bunch of news issues and key information I want to go over. But your calls are coming up here in just a few minutes at 1-800-259-9231. For those that just joined us, high-level FBI agent Danny Colson said that he was in Dallas on April 19th, 95. And told Newsweek and Time Magazine this and said, oh, I didn't take a plane. I decided to drive up there. Because, again, he didn't have a record of how he really got there. Then it turns out, with the hotel receipts, he was really there the night before. And so he was there to direct things and get the official story out. But then on top of it, we have Harry Everhart. And he witnessed the blast from nearby and called the BATF office in Dallas to excitedly announce someone has just blown up the federal building in Oklahoma City with a truckload of info. He did this within 10 minutes. He was part of a secret, and Congress has now released this. This is public. Part of a secret National Security Council set of drills and tests they did, practicing blowing up cars, trucks, and vans out in the New Mexico desert in the 12 months preceding the Oklahoma City bombing. Now imagine, he doesn't live in Oklahoma. He's there, on the scene, there, when it blows up and calls it in to the BATF, who then calls it into the media, and oh, it's an AMFO bomb. Now, think of the chances of that. Why is Danny Colson, this high-level FBI agent over anti-terrorism operations, why is he there and then lying about being there? Why is all this happening and going on? And I would add to this, Colonel Roberts, on 9/11, we have National Security Council doing a CIA-controlled drill of flying jets into buildings in New York and D.C. NORAD is told it's a drill. Air traffic controllers in the civilian area say, is this a drill? They think it's part of the drill. Vigilant Guardian and Tripod and all of these, same thing. Putin, they blow up three apartment buildings in 99 to get martial law going and to attack the Chechens. Moscow police in a sting catch FSB planting bombs, hydrogen bombs, in a fourth apartment building, and then Putin goes, oh, it was just a drill. So it looks to me like they are always doing these drills over the operation because it's highly compartmentalized and specialized in case other law enforcement breaks through the wall or citizens report it and they get busted. Give us your analysis of this.
Well, looking at that part as the author of the Medusa file, as an investigative journalist, the questions I would be looking at on that, and I think the answer would be that if you and I were going to plan to do something, then we would be able to plan a cover for it as well, that if the actual operation failed and we got caught in it, we could say, well, it was just a drill. We were just practicing. Here's the documentation. We've been planning this for a year. And I think that what it is, it's a fallback position. It's also a false flag, and it also muddies the water later on. If everything goes well, they can say, well, gee, we were just ahead of our time. We were thinking about what was going to happen. And, gee, it did. Isn't that a coincidence? The problem is, how many coincidences in a row do you need before you realize something else afoot here?
Well, why would Danny Colson lie and say he was in Dallas when it's now admitted he was in Oklahoma?
Well, he was probably told to. I mean, if he was in Oklahoma, he could have come up with a story that he was there for a meeting. So what? But if you say you're in Dallas, why did they not want him in Oklahoma? As far as the official version
of the
story.
But what's the chances of having somebody who lives in New York City being there outside the building when the bomb goes off, who ran the test for a National Security Council a drill? I mean, what's the chances of that, Craig?
Slim and probably nil. That's a heck of a lead, and that's one that's another one of the unanswered questions. You know,
well, I mean, you say you don't know much about this character, but you were the first person years and years and years ago who talked about the government drill blowing up the trucks.
Well, yeah, and we knew that had been going on, and they were trying to figure out how much it would take to cause certain amounts of blast damage at a certain radius using different types of explosives, and one of them was ammonium nitrate fertilizer soaked with diesel fuel or whatever in the back of a moving van. And they filmed it, and I think it was even on one of the TV magazine shows where they showed
it. Yeah, they had a Discovery Channel show about it, yeah.
But when it was brought to their attention by bomb experts that truck doing that, according to their own data, could not have done this damage to the Murr building, all of a sudden that story evaporated. What they tried to do is they tried to use that to show that McVeigh and this truck did this damage, and here we experimented out in the desert, and you can see how big of an explosion this is. But when they actually analyzed the blast damage coefficient, in other words, the shock wave dissipates as it goes out through the air, it would actually carry better underwater than it would through the air, then they found out that the architecture of the Murr building could have withstood it. So, you know, it would have blown some windows out, it's about all. Well, the problem with that is, now what do we do that we show that it can't happen? So that whole story disappears.
Well, here's another example. They've got all the different giant 18-wheeler tractor trailers full of plastic explosives parked right up against buildings, and all it does is blow the face off of them.
Well, look at the Khobar Towers, and that was my key point at one of the FBI meetings I went to. I stood there in front of a whole room full of guys, and I said, "Hey, I know none of you have any experience in explosives, but let me just give you an example that you can understand. Here are the pictures of the Murrah Building with what's supposed to be ammonium nitrate, which is low order explosives. It's concussive, but it doesn't have a lot of brisance effect.
And it's push that dissipates."
Right. Right. I was trying to say that and probably didn't do it well. Sometimes I get too technical, but you look at the Kovar Towers, they drive up with a tanker truck full of Semtex, which is basically C4, which is plastic explosives, which is a high explosive like Detcord. They put
doesn't that have like five times the yield of ammonium nitrate?
Oh, probably about 15 times the yield.
Oh, okay.
And they put it right up in front of the building. They set it off. It puts an 80-foot crater in the ground. It's 15 feet deep and 30 feet wide, and all it did was blow the front of the facade of the building off, opened up some of the rooms, didn't even rearrange the furniture, and hardly any, I don't know if anybody even got hurt in the thing, but this giant explosive went off, and that's all it did, to a building made in Saudi Arabia with poor concrete, very little reinforcing, mostly sand cast. And then you put that up against the Murrah Building, you know, this dog just doesn't hunt.
Well, plus you have the building blown out, columns further back, blasted off with clean blast points, and General Parton did an examination just of the photos, and it's like, here's the blast points.
Well, yeah, you could find them on the columns. That's why they got rid of the building so quick. They didn't want experts coming in there looking at the columns. You got Jane Graham, who says she saw Andreas Strassmeyer. She saw some guy named Gary Lewis, I think is his name. And she identified him, picked him out of photos, said, "These are the guys I saw in the building."
And she was the head of HUD in the building, yeah.
Well, and she described what they were wearing. Strassmeyer had on a black cowboy suit and black cowboy boots and a hat. And they had a grocery bag, and they were going around putting putty on the columns and stringing wire.
She said gray butter, yeah.
Yeah, and I interviewed her extensively, and she described something like along the lines of C4 or Semtex, some type of plastic explosive. She thought they were putting up a temporary telephone line between the columns, and when they saw her, they threw this stuff in the back of the station wagon and took off. We have flashlights in the building the night before, while surveillance is being held on the building. They got flashlights going around inside the building the night before at 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning.
That's right. There's surveillance on the building because people are going to federal courthouses and places like Denver going, they're going to blow the Murrah Building up in the next month.
Oh, there's no doubt there was surveillance on the building that day. You got guys who witnessed people coming out on the sidewalk and holding hoops over their head like hula hoops and turning around like they're trying to, do directional finding on a tracking device. All this stuff is going on the night before. You in that morning, you've got, and I saw the photograph myself in court, you've got a UPS truck that drives up to the front of the building and does a delivery and then drives off, and you've got the two guys in blue jogging suits that run out and hold the parking place for McVeigh to drive up in front of because he's parked a block away and has gotten out of the truck in front of the post office, okay? I saw the surveillance photograph of the UPS truck parked in front of the building just before 9 o'clock.
And again, Colonel Roberts, you don't just wander in the federal buildings planting explosives unless you're authorized.
Well, either that or you got really terrible security. But go back to what I just said, because it always goes to everybody's head. I saw the surveillance photographs. They were taken from a Oklahoma County Sheriff's stakeout car of that building prior to the Ryder truck arriving. That means they had it staked out, which means Key was right. The government had foreknowledge.
Well, absolutely. That's admitted. Now, I mean, but so this doesn't go over people's heads. And I'm not being like, oh, folks, you're stupid. I mean, this really burns into our brains. We've got this high-level BATF officer assigned to the National Security Council there who's been doing a test, blowing up truck bombs in the year before this, there, doesn't live there, on the scene, and he's the guy that calls the government and the media saying it's an ANFO bomb. I mean, that is ridiculous. Folks, if you can't see what that means, you're blind.
Well, especially when they hadn't even decided it wasn't natural gas explosion yet. So you had to have a premeditated story. You know, you had to have your storyline already written down in stone.
Greg, how do they get people in government to do stuff like this? I mean, I guess they're just criminals to begin with, but I mean, this is so cold-blooded that I mean, how many children died in that daycare center?
Well, I don't know. There was 168 altogether. 50-something children, I think. But
I mean, this is the thing. The BATF admittedly wasn't in the building. They told police and firemen, I've got them in my film, Road to Tyranny. This is months after. You know, it isn't like it was just the story that day going, yeah, BATF came up 2 minutes after in bomb gear and said, oh, we were told not to go into the building. Now, well,
I could write a book just on Oklahoma City, and just the title of it would be Lies. Because we ran into so many lies on the government side of the house.
But how do these guys kill children? I mean, I just don't understand that. What's wrong with these people?
Well, whoever was behind this has no compunctions whatsoever. You and I talked about this in an earlier show. We kept going up the ladder to the chain of command, and we finally got to the top, and Satan's in charge. So we're really talking about evil. And you mention this all the time. You talk about pure evil exists, and it does. It is a commodity out here on the streets. And there are evil people who get into government and have no compunction about what happens. Their deal is the end justifies the means. It's like Spock on Star Trek. The good of the many outweighs the good of the few. If we have to kill some children for the good of the many, then we're going to do it. That's how they justify this stuff, and it's sick. And we've talked about this in the past. These people exist not just in the criminal element, but they exist in the government. There's a lot of criminals that exist in our government nowadays, and we all know about that.
Because criminals start getting in, and they start recruiting more and more of their people, filling up more positions.
It's like fungus. It's a cancer. And it builds, and they only recruit the people. You go back to the 60s. You go back to some of the CIA operations in the early 60s, and you find people who have no compunction against running drugs into the United States to be used by our own school children if they can make more money to fight communism. I mean, this was their justification. We can go back to Team 101 of the OSS in World War II. It was led by E. Howard Hunt, and they had Lucien Conine on it, and Paul Helliwell, and Mitch Warbell, and some of these guys. They were running opium in World War II in the Golden Triangle to support the Kuomintang Army under General Chiang Kai-shek. And they justified that because, well, it's war. And during the Vietnam War, recruits from the same bunch that ran the Golden Triangle through the 60s, 70s, 80s, and probably still do today through the Golden Triangle on all the opium coming out now, and all that stuff's ending up in the veins of European and American youth. The same bunch that runs both the Cali and Medellin cartels, and all of that cocaine comes into the country. We go back and we look at the stuff that came through back in the 80s during the Reagan administration when George Bush Sr. was vice president, and we follow that down through MENA with Clinton, down to Noriega, and the whole Iran-Contra thing, and it was exposed. I mean, it was documented. It was blown wide open, and then it just went away, and everybody put their heads back in the sand. So are there evil people out there? Absolutely. Do they work in these agencies? Yes, they do. Who do they recruit? Each other. And other people like them. It's a monster that creates its own young as it goes. And what we have to do is what we do right now. We educate people. You talk about it, I talk about it. Somebody's got to be fearless and stand up, because if we don't have a watchman on the wall, we're going to lose.
Well, and this happens in society. It's like a viral infection or a bacterial infection. I like how you use the microscopic example. And you know, these diseases don't know how to stop. They keep spreading and finally even kill the host.
Well, that's exactly what's happening right now. Our government is not what it used to be. The host is being killed by cancer within it. We've got organizations in our government that run drugs, that launder money, that have hit teams. This has been shown through history over and over and over again. And when it gets exposed, it's like the deal that happened in California where they said that we've got evidence that the CIA has been running drugs into the streets of Los Angeles. When the CIA comes back and says, well, we investigated that, and we found ourselves innocent. You know, I mean, okay, fine. That's like getting cancer to cure cancer.
Let's talk to Eric in Oklahoma. Eric, thanks for holding her on the air. Okay, Joe in Tennessee, you're next. Go ahead, Joe. He may be having a little glitch with the phone lines. We'll try to go back to calls here in just a few minutes. That happens occasionally. Colonel, you know, I look at this, and then I look at the average cop on the street who's compartmentalized, and here in Austin, they're having checkpoints all week, just randomly searching vehicles, and then I hear them on the radio going, well, it may violate the Fourth Amendment, but we got to do this to stop crime. I mean, so you kill America to save America, but then you let the government itself bring the drugs in to create the crisis to begin with? I mean, what would you say to those police that are getting these federal dollars to run these checkpoints all over the country?
Well, of course, my first question is, what happened to the laws that I was trained at the police academy, that you can't stop a vehicle without probable cause or reasonable belief that a crime has been committed? You can't just stop a vehicle because you don't like its color or because you're going to stop the next 10 vehicles and see if there's any bad guys inside. So a stop is a form of arrest. A form of arrest has to have probable cause. Where did this fall by the wayside? That law has never changed, but what they've done is they've written new laws over it. And they've come up with homeland defense stuff and anti-terrorism stuff.
Or they call it the continuation of the force threat continuum, and they say, well, we have a policy.
So, the IRS has tax rules, but they're not law. And we go by them because they say, well, it's in the IRS regulations. Well, regulations have to do with organizations. It doesn't have to do with the people itself. I mean, what's happened is we are not taught in our schools anymore on constitutional law and on rights and laws like we were 30 years ago. So the kids growing up today just go along with it because Big Brother's out there to help you, and he says you're supposed to do it and you're not supposed to question it. I wrote a huge article on newswithviews.com about the TSA and the way the airport Nazis treat everybody when you try to get on an airplane now. We're being conditioned to line up like a bunch of ducks and just say yes sir, yes sir, three bags full, hi diddle diddle, walk up the middle, don't bother anybody, put your hands in the air, turn around, spread your legs, and go on with life. And that.
And by the way, I'm sure you've heard. Now the TSA is being dispatched to the inauguration. Other cities, they're going to train police how to quote profile people with behavioral sciences, and then they're going to have this all over the streets, all over the roads now, Colonel.
Well, and they're told they're not supposed to profile terrorists because it's not politically correct, you know. You might offend somebody.
So we'll just
profile guys like you and me.
I know the Supreme Court says you can stop everyone, you just can't stop specific people. So everyone must be abused. That's your freedom to be abused. We'll be right back, folks, with Alan and others. Stay with us.
Alex Jones here, announcing the release of my new film, Police State 3 Total Enslavement. Police State 3 details the architecture, goals, and operations of the New World Order.
There is a chance to use this disaster for a New World Order.
A New World Order can emerge.
The film documents dozens of confirmed cases of government-sponsored terrorism worldwide. We rip the sinister Patriot Act legislation 1 and 2 apart, piece by piece, and reveal the arrogance of what Ashcroft has to say about your liberty.
You will lose your liberty.
Homeland Security, executive orders, forced vaccinations, the new prison economy, the Total Information Society, the Pan-American Union, federal gun grabs, government-run white slavery rings, and much, much more. If you want to understand what the New World Order really is, then my new 2.5-hour video, Police State 3, is for you. Visit InfoWars.com or PrisonPlanet.com to order, or call toll-free 1-888-253-3139. That's 888-253-3139. Order today and spread the word.
Hello, folks. Alex Jones here. You know Berkey water filters have been removing pathogenic bacteria for years. But what about those unhealthy chemicals and heavy metals in your water? The powerful black Berkey purification elements fit most gravity filters and dramatically increase their power to extract waterborne contaminants. Best of all, they filter much faster than ordinary gravity elements. This means it takes much less time to filter your water. Black Berkey elements not only remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites, but also remove trihalomethanes and volatile organic elements such as benzene, chloride, and chloroform, MTBE, radon 222, foul taste and obnoxious odors like sulfur, even nitrates, and unwanted heavy metals such as lead, mercury, and aluminum are extracted. Supercharge your gravity filter today and order a 2-pack of Black Berkey Purification Elements for only $96 or a 4-pack for only $175 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438. Or order on the web at berkeywater.com.
Herbal Healer Academy is a global supplier of the finest natural medicine that you may need in these troubled times. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECAC, colloidal silver 500 parts per million, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for contrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning, to name a few. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. For a limited time, you can sign up on the website and receive our 104-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com. Check out our online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. We have been working hard since 1988 to save the remnant. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives in education.
To the callers that are patiently holding, Alan, Roger, Steve, Ron, and others. Before we do that, we're going to have Greg Roberts with us into the next hour, along with, of course, Jack McClam, Police and Military Against the New World Order. I'd like to get the two on together. It should be for very informative and interesting listening. Just briefly, please get 9/11, The Road to Tyranny, the preeminent 9/11 film that shows you the history of government-sponsored terror from Nero burning part of Rome to blame it on his enemies, to Hitler and the Reichstag, to Operation Northwoods, to the Gulf of Tonkin, right through to Oklahoma City, the first World Trade Center bombing, through 9/11 and the unfolding police state. It's almost 3 hours long on DVD, 2.5 hours long on VHS, $25.95. Order three or more of any of my 11 films. They drop down to $20 a piece. I've got a discount on two of the films right now where you buy one for the regular price. Each additional is $5.95. My goal is that you get four or five copies and give them as gifts. It is waking people up. Folks, the minds of the people out there are ready to be unlocked. I've never seen it happening this fast. We've got to strike, though, while the iron's hot. We've got to expose who's behind the terrorism. Go to InfoWars.com or PrisonPlanet.com to order via the safe, secure online shopping cart. You can watch free clips of the films, read about them, or order them right there. Or call toll-free 1-888-253-3139. That's 888-253-3139. And don't forget, you can watch all my videos online. A lot of new stuff added at PrisonPlanet.tv. We're about to go to Alan and others. Craig, you've written quite a few great books, some of them bestsellers. People can go to riflewarrior.com and learn more. How else can they find out about your books?
Well, you can go to my website, like you mentioned, and you can go to any bookstore, and most of them are available now after a huge battle. It's taken years to keep it on the computer. Any special order department can order the Medusa File or Killzone. Those are the main ones we've got out right now. Now, I've got a new sniper book that just came out this year, Crosshairs on the Kill Zone, that takes up where One Shot, One Kill left off, and it's available through any bookstore. You might want to check that one out. That goes from Vietnam all the way up to Iraq, and I interviewed all these guys that were snipers in various wars, and all the way through Somalia, Grenada, Panama, the whole bit. Great bunch of stories, great bunch of guys. They're all out there.
All right, let's talk to Alan in Kansas. Alan, go ahead.
Hello, Alec.
Hello.
And Mr. Roberts, what happened April 19th, 1995, we lost quite a bit there in that there was a lot of movement and resistance to any world governance. And I have here a copy of a resolution by the legislature of Oklahoma that was done in 94. I'd like to read just a little bit of it.
Yeah, go ahead.
Now, be it resolved by the House representing second session, 44th, Oklahoma legislature, that the United States Congress is hereby memorialized to, and number four, cease any support for the establishment of a new world order or any form of global government, that the United States Congress is hereby memorialized to refrain from taking any further steps towards the economic or political merger of the United States into a world body or any form of world government.
Let me stop you. Did you know that New Hampshire was going to have a vote to secede, and it was going to happen? Their counties were all going along with it the week of 9/11. I had their state reps on. I had their mayors on. It was getting no national attention. There were bills introduced in Arizona to do the same thing. And, Craig, that is true, what he just covered, and it goes on and on. Very interesting that Oklahoma got knocked upside the head after doing that.
Yeah, I remember when that came out. I've got copies of that. We were amazed that anybody else even thought about it, much less somebody down in the state legislature. And he's right. And you know, we chased afterwards. The big conundrum in this thing was all of a sudden, you know, we're chasing Middle Easterners, and that's what our eyewitnesses talked about. And then here, all of a sudden, it switches over to the militia and the right wing, and Pat Robertson and Rush Limbaugh and radio talk shows and all this stuff. And we chase that back, and it goes to the Southern Poverty Law Center and the ADL and the Defamation League of the Benign Breath.
Absolutely. Stay there, Alan. I'll let you finish up on the other side. Hello.